Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan Karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
Welcome to the program, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Venner. Today is the 30th of January. Wow, we came through a whole month already in 2013. That's unbelievable. Time flies. I'm broadcasting live from North Carolina, Wake Forest. And that tonight we'd like to talk about a couple things. I spoke to Shion Woodman. And now that the event in New Jersey is over, we are working on assembling a team of radio hosts and media personnel to present to the community a whole host of things, actually. After speaking to some of my colleagues today, we want to offer a program that is not just martial arts related. There are a lot of programs that are available to the general public when it comes to not only martial arts, but what martial arts brings with it, and that is the people. Some of the people that we're speaking to are very keen on the idea of offering. For instance, Sensei Joe Estrada over in Australia, his Money Clever program is goal setting for children and parents to work together on building financial responsibility and awareness, as well as building multiple streams of income. Now, what does this have to do with martial arts? Well, In the martial arts, we study many different categories, and one of the categories is how we sustain a dojo, what is necessary to have sustainable income in a dojo. Obviously, the students are the main supporter of the dojo. However, what you do with those funds as you grow the dojo are some of the tools and techniques that we want to be offering at what we're calling MARS, Martial Art Radio Shows. So after speaking to Shion Woodman today, we'll bill it as MARS. That's the name of the program that we're offering and that we're building with our colleagues in the community. After looking at several issues because we're going to start on the East Coast because that's basically our home base. Our plan is to assemble a team of sponsors, vendors, martial artists, and now we want to involve all of the different genres of business that the radio hosts are involved in, not only their dojos, but in their everyday lives when they go to work. So we want to have the media involved so that we can document and broadcast the curriculums that we're offering. Now, when I say curriculums, not only in martial arts, not only are we going to have martial artists showing their styles and offering their instruction, but along with that, different ways of intertwining martial arts throughout the fabric of the community, meaning that all the martial art dojos in all your different communities throughout the world should be now in this day and age to a point where curriculum for students should incorporate so many more things that have to do with our everyday lives. So not only will you be able to get, let's say you want to be a law enforcement officer when you're done with school. Well, when you come to these seminars, what you can learn is not only good martial arts techniques and whatever discipline that you're studying, but you can also learn from some of the people that we'll be inviting to these different events that we're trying to set up. Now, of course, you have to do the first one, which I believe we have the professor on the line. Let me check. Is that Daryl Sargent?
Hey, Hanshi. How are you, sir?
Us. I missed you today. I got distracted at the dojo. We were working on a project, and then I wound up speaking to Shion Woodman today. And what we're trying to do is get the lineup of radio hosts that want to participate in this. And
okay.
Of course, docradio.net is, you know, one of the key areas that we want to focus on because of the affiliation. So any radio host that is on the docradio.net site and offers that talk about doc is invited to have their whatever discipline that they, you know, practice, of course, whatever offering outside of just martial arts that may help the community, such as programs that the dojos are running or whatever that particular host is involved in. Obviously, everybody does other things, martial arts happens to be one of the things that we do. So after speaking to Woodman, you know, today, he basically wanted to sum up everybody on docradio.net, anybody that wants to be a part of, coming to the event, of course, you know, they get like first bids. So that's the key. And then he mentioned something about he has some contacts with people that are trying to search the price of the venue and to try to get the best price that we can get for a space.
Okay.
He's going to have that answer sometime this week. So
okay.
It's already, what, Wednesday today? Yeah. Today's Wednesday. So I'm sure by the close of business on Friday, we'll probably have some prices as to what the venue will cost.
Okay.
And then time frame now. We have to talk about, the radio hosts obviously are spread out throughout the East Coast, some in New York, some in Pennsylvania. I'm down in North Carolina. So now time frame becomes, what's everybody's schedule like? So those two things, after speaking to Woodman, he basically asked me, find out what their feelings, once we get the price of the venue, find out what their feelings are then about time frame. So those are the two things that are on my desk that I got to wait until we get the price and know when the venue would be available, and then see what the hosts say and see what their schedule is like.
That's no problem. We'll get it all figured out.
Which is awesome, because if we can get what Woodman Sheehan told me today is, if we can get he wants to, I don't know if he spoke to you about this, but he mentioned the name Mars, M-A-R-S.
Yeah, that's the name that we had picked that night, the martial arts radio shows.
Right. I love that.
And if
everybody on the team agrees, I like to bill it like that, Mars.
Yeah. Sophie Hassan is also going to introduce a possible logo to everybody as well.
Say that one more time, Professor.
Sophie Hassan Khalik, he's going to share a idea for a logo with everybody too.
A logo?
Yeah.
That's so cool. That is so cool, bro, I'm telling you. So now, the way he explained it to me, as we sew this thread through the community and get some of the people that he was speaking to me about today, he said something about being recognized by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So one of the things he asked me to do was get, I guess because they want to have a color guard and a presentation of the colors, they want to have a little bit, music that goes along with that, like bagpipes. So we're going to pull that. We try to get that done as well. If we can invite, I know that Sensei Estrada in Australia wants to be here when we do this, because he's very passionate about his program, so he wants to come. As for the, once we get what the cost of the venue is and the size of it, then we can, put our minds together. And obviously, the time frame is very important, because Sensei mentioned something about, when the kids are out of school, like around, I don't know when, I guess, I know that the school is basically done by July. Now, I know that we mentioned May, but again, it all goes back to the venue, when the venue will be available. And once we get that date or those dates, then we got to get everybody on the phone and see what's what. Start talking to everybody.
A later month would work better, because I would like to see us be able to at least put 4 good months of advertising in. So when I get a chance, I'll give Alan a call and we'll sit down and talk and see if we can figure some other stuff out too. So if we can do it in like a July, even August, I think that it'll work out well.
I think so too. I think that's a good time frame, because like you said, it's 4 months of advertising, is that's a full quarter of a year, plus a month.
And what still would be kind of, in essence, that is kind of still behind, because on a usual basis for an event like that, you're actually working one full year to make sure that everything is in order and that everybody is in place and that everything is in place in motion. So, you know, we'll just kind of have to see how everything manifests and how it flourishes and make sure that the finances are there that we can move through this thing smooth.
I'm learning every step of the way.
It's a learning experience. It takes a minute to learn how to do a lot of the hosting of events like this, but this is a great learning experience for you. And once you get this one under your belt, you will definitely know what to do for upcoming events.
He said something about having the media there. Because of the type of group that we're assembling, because it's, you know, martial arts related, obviously. We're all martial artists. But the core, you know, hosts are, of course, the radio show hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And this all came, I guess, about from when you first put us all together on that show that you had.
Right.
Where you had all the hosts, you know, call into your show, and we were all talking to you. And
right.
out of that came, you know, this idea of then putting us all together and not only offering our martial arts, but also what we do. You know?
Sure.
I happen to be into renewable energy. And I know that it costs money to put the lights on, run the air conditioner, make hot water. And I, you know, can offer ways for dojos to sustain themselves, especially if you own the building.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these things, bringing the community together, again, another offering of bringing the community together, is just such a wonderful thing that happens within the martial arts community because of the camaraderie. And the more and more that we, you know, try our best to promote that in as best the way that we know how, you know, without offending anybody, is a wonderful thing. It just is a wonderful thing. I mean, look at what happened over this last weekend. Look at how many people came together to Sifu Goldberg.
Very much so. You know, with Alan, you know, Sifu Goldberg's experience in doing his event, that would be immeasurable for the upcoming event, as well as some of the connections and different things that he has. So we have a good team that we can definitely put in order to do this thing. And, you know, it's just going to – I told Shihan Allen that we were going to have a conference call. So now that the event is over in Jersey, I'm going to go ahead and set up the conference call for us, and we'll all be able to get online and be able to go through this thing and start putting things in better order and better place for it to happen.
Now, one of the things that I know is very, very important is trying to coordinate the schedule. So any tools that we can use to try to cut down on putting people, you know, out of their way is very important because everybody's very busy. So,
right.
So the technique that you're talking about, having a conference call, is a great way for us to assemble the board of directors, put people, you know, where they belong, because everybody that will contribute to this, hopefully we can then keep it going.
We will. I have confidence that, you know, the people that are working on this thing will make it go forward. Once Sifu Rustida and Guru Bob and Sokya-san, once we come up with more of the plan, then I know that they'll just go ahead and get with us and everything will work it out.
I can't wait. It's just such a great experience. You know, working together with the other people in the community is a great thing. It's always something that, as a matter of fact, it was on the program last night where Sensei McGrath, you know, made that point. You know, go visit one another.
Most
go
definitely.
Visit one another and share. And this is
that's
the best way to do it. I love being able to put people together. So, one of the topics that we talked about last night on the program was when it comes to trying to build a dojo and get students to, you know, come and be a part of that experience, three things happen. Some, you know, come, they want to get a good workout. Some come to learn, and then some come to learn and also learn the way. Do you feel that because of the conditions of the way we're asked to teach children, young adults, and, of course, adults, law enforcement and military has their own set of rules and curriculum guidelines. But to the masses, to our students, civilian students, let me put it that way, how do you feel, this question was asked today, how do you feel the position of martial arts when it comes to what we're giving them today as opposed to what was given to us 30, 40, and some even 50 years ago? How do you feel about that, Professor?
I'm not sure I got the whole question. Are you talking about the differences in, how do I feel about the differences in the approach to teaching?
I guess that was one of the, and what we're allowed to teach. I think that's more the core of the question. The condition does exist that, God forbid, your student hurts somebody. Then you would be somewhat responsible because you taught that student.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So how do you find the balance of what you give them and what they're allowed to do with it, I think is really the core. And then how is it, like, eroded at, you know, the true essence of martial arts?
That's a good question. For me, I do teach in a very old school method, old school style, even to my kids. There's a tremendous amount of discipline and structure in the class, but yet there are days like today we played ping pong before we even did class, giving everybody, all the kids, a chance that even never played it before. So I think the balance comes in that, for kids, you have to continue sharing with them in the old way. You also have to share with them on a spiritual level what is character and integrity, but you also have to show that you can still have fun and teach through having fun. Teaching them how to play ping pong was still teaching them. They still had to do some things that they did not know how to do. And to watch them learn, it's all about the development of their brain right there and then. To see them try to learn something that they didn't know but have fun in doing it. So it goes a long way also to development of relationship between teacher and student. So there's a lot of things that maybe we will do today that the teachers of yesterday would not do. There's the relationship between student-teacher today is, of course, different than student-teacher of yesterday. You had a very military type of relationship back then because that's what they knew. They came out the military. That's what the way martial arts was. Stand straight, look forward, hands to your side, and don't ask no questions. That doesn't fly today. So you still have to stand strong, stand straight, eyes forward, hands by your side, but in this society today, you have to allow them to ask questions. you don't want it to go out of hand, but, you know, you still have to allow them to ask the question. So there's a different thing right off the bat in the teachings. You just have to adjust.
Of course, thank you for that. And then how does the technique suffer? Are you allowed to, you know, how far do you take it? Because, you know, the technique is designed, let's say, for instance, if you catch somebody's elbow, the technique is designed to break the elbow. And that teaching the children up to a certain age, we don't get into that stuff with them, obviously. They're children. But there does come a point when you're explaining the actual bunkai of what you're doing. When you explain that to them, how does the technique suffer in today's allowance? Are we teaching these young ones apart? Yes, go ahead.
So the only way that I see it suffers is if the teacher doesn't have the appropriate depth of knowledge within what it is that he's trying to share with the student, whether it's a kid or whether it's an adult, because no matter what, you're going to stay age-appropriate with what you teach, and you still and all have to have a depth of knowledge within what it is that you're trying to share. You should easily be able to have at least three levels or four levels or five levels of information on a particular movement within the realms of kata. And if you don't, as a teacher, then you better question as to just how far in depth of that kata and the basic core movements that you truly have.
Right,
so,
and you truly understand. I agree. I agree 100%.
So that's what comes in. It shouldn't suffer at all if you are at that level of understanding and at that stage where you can, you know, just put it in an age or a level appropriate thing, you know.
Sure, sure. No, hey, listen, I get you because coming from New York and then moving down to North Carolina, the laws in North Carolina are a lot different than the laws up in New York.
Absolutely.
yes, the laws are very, very much more like it was a long, long time ago. You're allowed to do things down here to protect yourself different than you're allowed to do up in New York. And I'm learning that every day. I'm no expert at it, but I am trying to do my due process and my due diligence and find out what is acceptable in this state so that when I make up the release form and, you know, they have to sign that because I don't own the dojo. I rent space there. And, you know, there is that liability issue. So that has to be covered. Otherwise, you can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
And that, how does that apply to what you're giving these? So, and you answered it the right way because you explain it all out. You don't hide anything. You don't tell them, you know, anything false. You never want to give a student a false sense of security by telling them something that's not right. So everything within the science of the technique works. Well, when you explain it that way and then apply that explanation to the law as to what you're allowed to do, that's why joint locks and control movements are more popular than, you know, busting somebody up. Because when you bust them up, now when you go to court, you're in trouble. I mean, you break somebody's rib, which doesn't take much, you're going to court because they're going to sue you. You bust somebody's nose, they're going to sue you. Now, you know busting somebody's nose is no big deal. But yet, you will get in trouble for that. So that's why we were talking about today exactly what you just said. It's our job to explain the technique out and then on that situation is how you apply the appropriate amount of force. That's how, you know, all the other masters on the program basically summed it up.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, if you different perspectives of understanding to a particular movement, then it you should be able to find an appropriate method or an appropriate perspective of that technique.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, when I look at some of the, I mean, I'll use the Goju Katas. So I'll use like Chisochin, which is the Nidan Kata. And in Chisochin, you have like arm breaks and throws and all kind of stuff up in there. But
right.
If you understand how you can teach it where that core movement turns out to be more of a redirection of an arm or whatever, then as a person moves to set to different levels or different age groups or different ranks or whatever, then you can start going into more of the destructive stage.
Mm. But the idea is to teach the technique in a way that allows them to use the core movement to protect themselves but not be excessive. So, well, let me clarify that. What's considered on the street to be excessive by the judge? Because he's gonna say that, you know, if you break somebody's arm, did you have to do that? Well, yes,
well,
Your Honor. I the adrenaline was pumping through my body. I applied a little bit too much force, and you know the arm gave way. Well, he may consider that to be excessive. So, you know, jumping into specific stances, you talked about playing music and working with the timing. These core issues is how we ensure that we don't degrade the technique. So that's the that's what I get out of it as an instructor, because I have to answer those questions. So I want to be prepared should something happen. That might be considered to be excessive on the street, is my point.
Well, for the most part, in most states, you're allowed equal to. But if you start going over, then that's when you'll get in trouble, because law enforcement has a 3 to 5, they can go 3 to 5 levels above your attack. So for a civilian, for the most part, it has to be equal to the attack that's being presented to you.
Right. Which you spoke about on your program.
Right.
You made that very clear that, you know, on the street, that's the way we ought to operate as martial artists. We have the right to protect ourselves, but that the level is equal to what's coming at you. Now, how you put that, I guess you got to have a good attorney, whatever, but I get it.
Yeah, and again, that's according to the circumstance, of course. Here in Oklahoma, somebody enters through your door, you know, you can look at it two ways. Were you able to go and find a safe spot, stay there, and keep your family safe? Or was it in a situation where a person entered through your door, you happen to be in the living room, and your family's there? Well, if my family's in the living room with me, if somebody enters through my door, I'm taking them out. And there's not going to be a question in court here in Oklahoma. But that's why people have to be very knowledgeable, and it's the teacher's responsibility to have. If you're going to say that you're teaching self-defense on your billboard, then you damn sure better know what the hell self-defense realm is in your state. Because
you better believe it.
Responsible, because that's what you advertise.
That's
you
right.
Advertise on teaching self-defense.
100%, Professor. I'm telling you, you better have a copy of that penal law present in your dojo. So if anybody asks a question, you can answer that question by going to the book.
Well, you got
to
go.
And that's the way we're forced these days to run our business.
Yeah, but you got to go one step further. You need to make your students sign it.
That's
so that
right.
You always have it on record along with their initial application. And they get a copy, you keep a copy, they signed off on the copy, which means they were made aware of these laws and their responsibilities to abide by the laws based on your teaching?
That's right. That is one of the riders. No question about it. It has to be. You know, and if you do it any other way, God forbid something happens, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, you're in a lot of trouble. So, you know, the game has changed. And I guess that's the point that they wanted to bring out, that because of all of the lawsuits and so on and so forth, we have to be extremely knowledgeable about what we're doing. It's not just a bunch of guys getting together like it used to be. Now we have responsibilities, man. You know, and things have changed. And, you know, rightfully so, because we are Americans. You know, we have our customs. We have our ways. We're not Asians, you know. We don't live like they live. So we have to abide by, you know, our structure. Has it become a little bit excessive, like what they're doing with these guns? I would say yes. You know, give us a little more leeway with these kids. But you can't, because if they hurt somebody, you know.
Well, very true. You're responsible for what you give, and you just have to make sure everything is in the appropriate realm for the person that you're teaching. You got to get to know your students, and you got to get to feel the energy of that student. If you feel that they have their energy is too hot, then you hold back on teaching those things. If you know that that person is of high level of character and integrity and is there for upstanding reasons, then, of course, you know, you don't have to hold back as much information. So you just have to know your students.
Yes, sir. I agree. And as you grow with them, though, you know, their character, if they're true, most human beings, you know, are genuine.
Right.
Yes, they are. I mean, especially in that kind of environment. A dojo, they have some understanding of what, you know, what goes on in a dojo now. It's not like it was when we were young. So they know what to expect. As for the children, you know, like I said, down here there's a dojo on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Black Belt World, who's very big down here, and they basically own the market. Black Belt World's got all the kids. Everybody goes to Black Belt World here. So, and God bless them. I mean, it's a wonderful way for them to put kids together. And that's all I care about, is that they're off the streets, they're doing something constructive, they're not getting in trouble. You know what I mean? And I like to promote that, because I wasn't such a good kid when I was growing up. I got in a little bit of trouble. And I know that getting in trouble makes it very difficult for you.
Mm-hmm.
Never got arrested. I was never arrested. I don't have any felonies on my name. But, again, I did some things when I was a kid that was stupid. I know, but I was just an arrogant shithead sometimes. you know, and then with the gift that Sensei gave me, like Billy Joel says, don't take no shit from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of sex, a lot of love, but don't take no shit from nobody. So, and he was a Long Islander, Billy, so we sort of took that to heart. And now, at this stage, you know, writing it all down is key, which is one of the shows that you guys had. You know, making sure that you document what you're doing, so that when you pass it on, it gets, there's no ambiguity. This, you know, this is what Sensei wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, because that's what keeps the continuity of our martial art alive, because we're nothing but a conduit. I'm not the founder of, you know, Isshinryu Karate. I'm just a vehicle. I'm just a worker. And I like being a worker. I like doing what I do. I can actually say now at my age, I really, truly love it. It's something that, you know, releases this chemical in my body that just makes me very happy to work with others and help others. especially survivors.
Well, yeah, you know, once you know, that's the thing that manifests blessings upon people is when they are of service to others. So I just encourage you to remain in service of others, that the Creator and the ancestors will bless you for the works that you do.
And my grandpa, when I was little, told me the same thing my father told me, that your name, Vena, appears in the human body 3 times, twice in the heart and once throughout the body in the veins. So consider yourself the steward of the children and the elderly. I never forgot those words.
That's
you know?
True.
That's right. My name appears in every human body 3 times, twice in your heart and once in your veins. That's what Vena means. And I've always considered myself somebody to help children and whatever I could do for the elderly, anything, give my time, go to old age homes, put on shows for them. I focus on things like that. Making an old person smile just warms my heart.
That's all. That's what it's about. That's living life like it's golden. That's you know, taking life and giving to others. That's the best gift that you can give to the Creator.
Well, when I walk in with them bagels and the cream cheese and all that butter stuff, and the old folks see me, they come running up in their wheelchairs, you know, and I just get such a great feeling from that. I give them hugs. Hey, listen, I had parents, you know, they lived to be old, thank God. But they're not here no more, and I miss my parents, so I go hang out with the old people once in a while, you know. I take care of them. I love old people. They considered us their future, and now I consider the kids of today our future. So, like I said, I'm just a conduit. I'm just a way for it to pass through. So as many people as I could touch, I want to touch. You know, for the good. And, you know, what I mean by touching them, I mean by giving them what Sensei gave me. It's a wonderful thing. It really, truly is. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful way of life. When you can eat right, sleep right, work out, go to work, teach your community, you know, provide a community service. That's the key.
That's it. That's how you give back to God. So just keep doing what you're doing, because obviously you're doing something that manifests blessings upon others.
That's why we exist. You know, it starts at home with the kids. You know, I got 4 of them. And then from there, we all go out every day and try. None of my kids ever got in trouble, never got arrested. And we came from a neighborhood that, you know, was not the best. But now down here in North Carolina, it's a lot better. A lot better down here. It's a lot more manageable. Let me put it that way. Not that it doesn't exist here, but it's, you know, it's in its spot. And my kids, you know, they're all getting older now. My youngest is 14 already.
Right.
Having 3 girls and a boy is, wow, that is a journey. You know?
I know.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We're off the air now. We're just shooting the breeze. But I'm really looking forward to working with everybody on the team. This is going to be fabulous. In my golden years, to work together with the community that I was blessed to be in, thanks to my sensei.
Very good. And we look forward to working with you. So have a good night, and I will speak to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
Good night now.
Good night.
Well, that's the conclusion of our show for tonight, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Vena. You can tune in tomorrow, same time, same channel, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're here every night, and that, you know, 30 minutes is how long they air the program, but this little bit of extra time also gets uploaded onto the session, so it's great because we are past our time now. It's past 11:30, so that's it.